Thank you, Stephen. This midweek, we'll be having our midweek in house churches. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that before I get into this. It's the first midweek for the year. So let's take a moment and maybe take time and pray about what God wants us to do in those two areas of growth within us as people and the people that we can help pray for that God can help us reach out to and bring them to the kingdom of God. Amen? I pray that you can pray about that and really engage in that space and let God use you in an awesome, awesome way. At the beginning of this month, we began by talking about that for growth to happen, there must be a death that happens in certain areas of our lives. Then last week, we talked about the need to apply the Word of God to ourselves. That somehow, if you don't apply the Word of God to your heart and how you feel, you're dominated by emotions. Even though you know what's right, you cannot overcome that. So today, I would like to continue in that as patience as necessary for growth. Understand this, that many a times you want growth, but not the time it takes to grow. I mean, how many of us want good stuff? You want good stuff, right? How many of us, though, are ready to invest in the time it takes to get there? That is the question. That is the question that we must grasp and get to understand how God functions, His principles, and how all that comes together. You cannot run away from that. Better a patient person than a warrior. That's Proverbs 16:32. One with self-control than one who takes a city. Why would be a patient person better than a warrior? Let's talk about the warrior. The warrior has no time to waste. First of all, he's going to kill at the first opportune time. And if you're an enemy, you're an enemy. So he doesn't care about forgiveness. You're going to get killed. There's no emotions. There's no space for emotion for a warrior. You take over. You dominate. You kill. A patient person, though, needs time to think through things. Ask themselves, why am I doing this? How will this benefit me, the community, the place I live? One who self-controlled and one who takes on the city. If you really think about it, for us to grow, it takes time to let go of certain things, understand ourselves. There are things that you need to understand why you're behaving the way you do, and then put that before God and develop the roots that overcome that, and you begin to grow. Amen? But it's not an overnight thing. I have a tree over here that I want to explain that, you know, that tree is on a tarmac or a tarred road. If you let it stay for long enough, it'll overrun the tar. It may be 10 years, but it'll overrun the tar. It'll actually do that. Why? Because it takes time to develop the right roots. Now, time in itself, if you look at plants and everything, you have to put them down and wait for the right weather, then they eventually come up. I've told you the story of the Chinese bamboo that takes 10 years. You're walking, you don't see anything, but you're walking on it, but the roots are going down. Then in 10 months, it goes like crazy upwards. But all that time you're walking on it, nothing is going on. You're just walking on the roots. And the idea is for us to get it right here is we have to take the time to figure out what is God saying in our hearts. If we don't do that well, what happens then we're frustrated. We're angry because we want results but not applying ourselves. You get very frustrated when you want things to change but you're not applying yourself. It's a very frustrating place to be. You have to apply yourself, apply your heart, apply your mind, apply your energy, then things begin to change. So let's start going here. Patience is needed to hear God. So 1 Samuel 3:4-10, it says, then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. But Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me, my son." Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So this is two times. He hears the voice of God, but he goes to Eli so that Eli can tell him what's going on. And he keeps telling him, "I did not call you." You see, it's taking time for him to figure out who is then is talking to me. Sometimes God is talking to us, but we keep going to people. God is saying things to us, but we keep going to this person, that person. But God is really talking to you. And the reason we don't grasp the meaning in what God is saying is because we are so people-focused. We're not hearing God. So that curtails our growth. But it takes time. Two times, he's been going back and forth. And God says, "You know what? Eli kept telling him, I didn't call him." The third time, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and laid down in his place. So the third time he went, Samuel didn't get upset. Samuel's an amazing character. He said, "You keep coming to me." He didn't say that. He says, "Oh, I didn't call you." Then he realized, oh, I think God is talking to him, but he's not paying attention. So now, next time when God calls, you say, "Speak, Lord, for I'm hearing." I have a question for you. It's possible that there are people talking to you about God. It's possible that a brother, sister, or a friend is telling you about God. Are you seeing what the Bible says to you, though? Or are you arguing with yourself? He says, no, God is going to talk to you. Listen to what God says. So for us to grow, we have to get that time to sit down and say, wait a minute, what is God saying? So he lay down and said, "God speak, I'm here." So basically, Samuel tells Eli what to do. Let God speak to you by being still. Just lay down there. The Lord came and stood there calling at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." All we got to do to grow is listen to God. Half the time, the reason we don't grow is because we don't know what to do and where to go. But we're not taking the time to say, "But God, what do you want me to do?" You will not know what God wants you to do if you're not in the Word of God. You will not know what God wants you to do if you don't have godly men and women around you helping you, directing you towards God. Amen? So you will not grow out of being isolated. You will grow by knowing God's word and having people that direct you towards God. Amen? But it took time, three times before that happened. I think too many of us are giving up too quickly. This is January. Why are you giving up on God? We say we're going to do something. Well, it's just January. You already shut down God's word. It is the time to begin to connect. It's not late. It's never late with God. And you need friends that direct you towards God's word, not friends that direct you towards yourself and make you angry and upset, that show you God's will. That's when you grow. Does that make sense? All that takes time. If you're helping someone, I hope you stick with it and you don't give up so quickly. And if you're being helped, I hope you don't give up because it's not clear. The third time is when he had what the Lord was saying. It takes time. Time is okay. Patience is not the ability to wait, but the ability to keep a good attitude while waiting. I like the picture of that boy. He's waiting to see whether he can get the bat or something goes on there. But he has a good attitude as he does it. You see, you can wait, but angrily. You can wait with ultimatums. You can wait with just upset like nobody's business. That's not going to work for you. Time requires that you see that God is in control. That you have joy, you have patience, you have kindness, because you know that God is working this thing out in his own time. Why would you wait angrily? What if God said, "I'll answer this on the 90th day"? Why would you spend 89 days upset? Why wouldn't you just live that life joyfully? What if God said, "I'll answer this in 2 years"? And if you knew that for sure, you'd be happy.
But because you don't know, you get upset and upset with God and angry with God instead of taking some time and figuring out what God wants you to do. Part of patience is letting God do the work in your character, in your attitude, in the way you view the world, in the way you see God, in the way you understand what's going on in your life, and not giving up so quickly, and not so upset and just walking around in a bad mood. You can have a bad mood to the extent of having a headache. That's when I know I have a bad mood. When I have it, I'm like, I need to stop that business. That's the body telling you, at this rate, you're going to die quickly, man. Just stop it. Patience enables clarity. It's possible that a lot of things are not clear in your life, not clear which way to go, what needs to be done. The Bible will show you this in a moment. Isaiah 28, 24, 26. When a farmer plows for planting, does he plow continually? That if a farmer is planting the ground, it's not a continual process. He does it in stages. The Bible says, does he keep on breaking up and working the soil? He doesn't do that all the time. You plow and let it rest for some time. You plow and let it rest for some time. I did some farming. I can tell you that for sure. When he has leveled the surface, does he not sow caraway and scatter cumin? Does he not plant wheat in its place? Barley in its plot and spelt in its field. His God instructs him and teaches him the right way. Who makes that happen? This illustration, this analogy that Isaiah is using, is that God instructs us to live our lives the right way. Let's get clear about this. I know that for the most part, when I am stuck, I am frustrated. So the next thing I always ask myself, what is bothering me? Why am I so frustrated? And that can be a tough thing to do. Because sometimes you're so frustrated, you can't even figure out what is frustrating you. You're so much in the high, you've lost the source of it. So you need some time to calm down, some time to pray, some time to figure out, where is this coming from? That can be a week. That can be a minute. That can be 2 days. Or that can be a year. Not a good place to be. But it can take you a year to figure out this stuff. That's all time. What's important, though, is figuring out what's going on here. The farmer doesn't do it continually. Clarity comes because you're patient. When you're patient, God shows you clearly. Sometimes you pray about things, but you don't want to marinate yourself in that forever. Live it. You prayed about it. God will make that clear. I've prayed about things, and sometimes I'm talking to someone and the answer comes. I'm like, oh my goodness, that was the answer. That's it. Sometimes I'm going somewhere, and then the answer comes. But I prayed about it 2 days ago, 2 weeks ago. It takes time, but you have to learn when to do what God wants you to do. So here's the issue. Are you just coping? Or are you really taking time to hear and see what does God want me to do? So yeah, we want to grow this year. But what are you doing about it? How have you changed with your quiet time? How have you changed with your one another relationships? Yeah, you want to grow about it. So you want to help someone to know God. But what are you doing about talking to your friends about it? What are you doing about that? That's how you cannot say, well, I want God to do that, but you got to pray about it. Then God will show you what you need to do. And then you have to start working on all the things that need to change in your character, and God brings that about, and clarity hits. Clarity is an amazing thing. You see, when I don't have glasses on, everything is fuzzy. I can see you, but not clearly. Yeah, you're there. I know that. But there's no clarity at all. If I'm driving, I slow down tremendously. Because I have to be sure that there's no car coming from the right or the left. When I have them on, everything is so clear. It's like, I can see again. I can see the people, that the roads are clear. Everything is good. Let's go. You see, clarity is something we all need for our souls, for our future, for our lives. But in the process, when you do not know the clarity, you must trust God. And keep waiting and keep doing the right thing. And that is time. That's why you need time. It doesn't work overnight. You need time to keep yourself on this journey of growth. Amen? So if you're stuck and you're not clear, I ask that you pray. I ask that you read the Bible. But I also ask that you keep asking God to show you what he needs you to do.
Amen.
Patience enables understanding. Now, how many of us didn't do so well in math? You didn't do so well in math. How many of us do so well with math? Yeah, so we're pretty mixed here. Some people have a good time with math,
and some of us didn't have such a good time with math.
For the most part, if you understand the formula, you can begin to execute whatever problem it is, right? If you don't understand the formula, for a mathematician, that's easy, but for you, it's like Greek. How do you do that? And then, if you're not careful, you start saying, math is hard. I cannot do math. It's very difficult. And then that becomes your identity of how you see yourself. And I said that for a whole high school time, saying math is a hard subject. Then I went to college and I was told, listen, for you to graduate, you must do this accounts. I tell you, I got good at it. I don't know where that came from, but I figured I'm going to figure this thing out. Because my life depended on it. It's not that the math is difficult. It's how you see it. And I got to tell you, the teenagers, you got to take that down. Math is not difficult. It's how you see it. Now, if you understand the formula, it's easy to do math. If you don't understand it, it's a problem. So let's read here a little bit. Patience enables understanding. And that's part of the challenges with math subjects. You have to be patient to figure out what's going on there. Sometimes you need two times you're taught before you understand it. So let's read. Caraway is not threshed with sledge, nor is the wheel of cut rolled over cumin. Caraway is beaten out with rod and cumin with a stick. Now, I know this is pretty first century, but if you just read the words, you'll understand that there's a way you take care of different plants and different harvests. Does that make sense? That's basically what he's saying. And that's a grain must be ground to make bread. So no one does not go on threshing it forever. Because if you do, you destroy it. Then he says, the wheel of threshing cart may be rolled over it, but one does not use horses to grind grain. All this also comes from the Lord Almighty, whose plan is wonderful, whose wisdom is magnificent. So he's saying everything that is done here must be done with a plan, and there's a reason. Have you asked yourself, what is the reason of your life? What is the reason for your life? And why are you here in this space today? Why did God allow you to come hear this message today? This is not an accident. You're here for a reason. Don't wing it and say, I'm just here to go by. I just came because so-and-so invited me. Well, you came because God wanted you here. If you're a member of the church, you're here because God wants you to hear this message today. He's ordered that you hear this message so that you can begin to ask yourself, how am I taking time to do what God wants me to do? That's the whole purpose. We go to church and we shut down. And we wait for when is midday coming so that we can leave. I ask you to open yourself to hearing what God is saying to you. Here's what happens. You shut down here, you're shutting down in life as well. And yeah, you keep yourself busy with different things, the phones, the computer, and all that. But hear God and take time, and then you can understand. The reason we don't take time to understand God, because it takes you to quiet yourself down. Quieting yourself down is a scary phenomenon. It's a scary phenomenon because you have to deal with me. You have to deal with you. And you can't blame anyone. You can just, this is me. God showed me something. How do I deal with that? It's not a scary phenomenon. It's only a scary phenomenon because we think it's a bad thing when God shows us he is the light. It's a good thing when God shows you the light. You can walk through that door knowing confidently that I'm coming to a good space. I don't have to keep staying in this space of being just disgruntled and upset, but I can understand God. You know, God is with us. God is for us. God is not against us. Romans says that if God is for us, who can be against us? So if you understand that, how does that change your life now, that God is for me? How does that change your business now?
How does that change how you see your home now? How does that change how you see your job now? How does that change how you interact with life? If it's God is for me. All of a sudden, there's so much energy. But if you don't understand that, it's just another word. But if you understand that, you realize, wait a minute. Then there's some things I need to do to keep going in the right direction. God is simply saying, you do things the right way, he'll work it out. Now be careful. Don't worship the formulas. Stick with God. Don't worship the formula. Because we hear that, show me how that's done. That's not how it works. Worship God and he'll show you the steps. Every life has a different step and every life has a different way that God is bringing about. Does that make sense? Very unique to you, but God is constant bringing this about. It takes time, though. So just because you're talking to a friend and they're not responding, it takes time if you pray for them. If it's about your own life, you got to pray about it and stick with what God wants you to do, and change happens. Amen? Patience enables you to wait on God. I have a guy here on the snail. Snail's not the fastest moving horse, but the Philistines assembled to fight Israel with 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and soldiers as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They went up and camped at Michmash, east of Beth Evan. That's scary. Look at the numbers. That's a lot of people. When the Israelites saw that the situation was critical and that their army was hard-pressed, they hid in caves and thickets among the rocks and pits and cisterns. I mean, they're going for anything they can hide in. A cistern, too. There's water in there, but they're going in there. So when you're afraid, you even destroy yourself because you're not taking time to think through things. Some Hebrews even crossed the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. So remained at Gilgal, and all the troops with him were quaking with fear. He waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal. Saul's men began to scatter. Let's understand this. How many days? 7 days. Was that agreed between him and Samuel? They had agreed. He didn't show up on the agreed time. So, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. No. Sometimes you have an agreed time with God. You say, God, do this for me by Tuesday. It doesn't happen. It doesn't mean that God has stopped walking. Our explanation of, I prayed about it, didn't work, so I'm going to do plan B. There's only one plan. Trust God. There are not two plans about it. There's only one plan. Trust God. There's no plan. If I don't, God, you don't work, I trust Steve. No, no, no. There's only one plan. Trust God. You see, that simplicity takes away a lot of anxiety. If you're anxious, it's because you're trying to jump for different roads. Just trust God. You know, yesterday I had the grace of just visiting Harris at his place right now. And going there, I've never been that direction. I'm just going. I'm like, okay, the GPS must be taking us the right direction. And I turn around, I'm going. And at some point, I don't see a car behind me. I don't see a car in front of me. I'm like, well, we're in the right direction. But we can see some life on the sides anyway. And you know, you go over there and I say, how did I come to this place? I trusted. I just trusted the information. I called Glenn, I called Jordan, I met Melvin. I said, do you have the address? Give it to me. I didn't say, are you sure? Have you been there? How many times? He sent it one time, I plugged it in, I said, let's go. It looked, you know, 1 hour, 34 minutes. When I put it on Google, it said 2 hours and 15 minutes. Okay, we're going to go with Waze. Forget that. Never been there. We're going to go. What is that? It needed patience to be on that road 30 minutes, 1 hour. I said, patiently. Then getting there and then say, am I in the right place? Then I realized I was only second guessing because when I arrived, I had my own vision of what I wanted to see. So I couldn't even find the address because I was only seeing what I wanted to see. So I backed back and said, wait a minute. What does it say? This is the address. As soon as I looked at things carefully and went looking at the numbers, I got the place like this. What was the problem? I didn't take the time to ask myself, is this the information? Does it match the map?
I went there with, I'm going anyway, but I have a plan. It should look like this. It doesn't work like that. Patience enables God, enables you to wait on God. You see, he was waiting on Samuel, but he was saying, wait a minute, it has to be like this. On the seventh day, show up. You don't show up, plan B. It doesn't work like that. You have to trust God and stay with God's plan. The reason we get unhappy is because we think there's another plan out there. No, there's only one plan, and it's God. And God does not fail us. He may not come on time. Let's see what happens. So he said, bring me the burnt offering and fellowship offering. And Saul offered up the burnt offering. Just as he finished making the offering, Samuel arrived and Saul went out to greet him. What have you done? Asked Samuel. Saul replied, when I saw that the men were scattering and that you did not come at the set time. There's a blame game going on here, right? You know, we agreed that you didn't show up and the men were leaving. Okay, so, and the Philistines were assembling at Michmash. I thought now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal. Is it possible that you're blaming people, others, but you never see that you didn't listen to God? Is it possible that that's your life today? That's what stops growth. The moment you start blaming everything else, you don't grow. You have to look at the man in the mirror. And then you start growing. It says, so I thought, where was I? Verse 12. I thought now the Philistines are coming down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering. He went against God to do God's will. It was the priest's job to do that, not him. You have done a foolish thing. In other words, you're doing something that does not work. That's not just the way it works. Samuel said, sometimes we're doing foolish living. We're doing things that are not dependent on God at all. You got to focus on God. Don't do foolish things. You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established the kingdom of over Israel for all time. One thing, just waiting on God, took away the kingdom. One little thing, waiting on God, took away the kingdom. So you see, lack of patience reveals our character. Can I say something? You may be cheating yourself out of your destiny and the miracle that God can do with you because you will not be patient. You may be cheating yourself out of what God can do with you and raise you because you will not wait on God's timing. And I know you get online and you see all these millionaires overnight and you think, why cannot that happen for me? God has a plan for you. And it's not what you saw online. It's a plan for you. You keep taking away your plan and looking at other people's plans and say, why cannot that be mine? No, God is working on you, on me. That's where we go, amen? So, I want to say this here. Lack of patience reveals our character. What character? It reveals whether we're impatient, whether we're trusting, whether we really put our hope in God or something else. That happens. And sometimes we think that anger is okay. The Bible says anger does not bring about righteousness. Or depression is okay because we're just going to run away from it. There's a different depression that we get from different things. But this one you're creating yourself. We've got to ask ourselves this question. What is really going on in our character? And begin to say, how will I take the time to begin changing this character? Because it takes time. Character doesn't go away overnight. That's a time thing. But you have to water, put the seed down, the word of God, water it with the right friendships, and God makes it grow. Amen? And finishing, humility and patience enables growth. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. You're humbling yourself under whose hand? God's mighty hand. I think that's hard to do when you're seeing the human being. It's very hard to do. I'm on the road a lot, so I have enough stories that I could tell you about the road, how people cut in, cut out. And some days I am as cool as I can be. And there's some days I'm tempted to say, what? I'm talking to someone who can't hear me. And I've asked myself, what's the difference? When I'm trusting God and I'm humble, it's fine. When I'm not, I'm reacting like nobody's business. The Bible says, you humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He will lift you in due time. If you're trying to change and grow, then humble yourself. That is, accept God's word. Let the word of God transform you and keep doing the right thing and keep be proactive in that area. He will lift you in due time. Amen? If you're learning the word of God, yes, accept it and do what it says, and then you'll be transformed. Cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. A big killer of growth is anxiety. When you're anxious, it's like you've taken energy out of your system. So you cannot really focus. You're so anxious. You can't think properly. You're so anxious. You may eat food, but the anxiety still keeps coming. You may play games, but the anxiety keeps coming. You may do all kinds of things, but the anxiety keeps coming. You've got to go to God on this one. He says, cast your anxiety on God. Casting it is, I've given it to God. I can change that, but God, You can take care of that. And I want to be at peace. Now, some of these things have triggers. You've got to know the triggers in your life. What triggers anxiety? What triggers you to this neighborhood? And what scriptures do you have to be ready with so that God can help you with that? Be alert and be sober-minded. So there's an alertness we need in our spiritual growth. Let's be alert about how we're living our lives. And then say we want to grow. Be sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You know, the lion is very good at noticing a weak animal. Even a buffalo, it'll take it on. It's amazing. It'll charge just briefly and watch. And when they run, he can tell that particular one I can get. It'll even attempt an elephant. Rarely, but it'll attempt an elephant. At night, though, the elephant is always taken at night when the other animals are not around. Because if they're together, you can't get it. The giraffe, too, they attempt giraffes. My point is, if you isolate emotionally, quietly, you isolate yourself, you stuff information, you don't talk to anyone, you isolate, the devil's going to get to you. If you don't have good relationships, the devil's going to get to you. If you don't have a relationship with God, the devil's going to get to you. He's looking to get to you. We've got to get honest, authentic, and get relationships and start growing again, spiritually, mentally, and then helping others to know God as well. The Bible says that resist, stand firm in the faith. There's only one answer. You got to resist and stand firm in what? In the faith. There's only one answer. Stand firm in the faith. You will not develop faith without the word of God. Then it says, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. We're not the first ones to be challenged. You're not the first one. But I don't want to play down your problems. I want just to say that God will see you through like He's done before in His time. But for that to happen, growth must happen with us. Amen? If we don't grow and it takes time, it will not happen. So here's what I want to say. Take time to get in the Word. Amen? Take time to build friendships with people that you really want to help know God. Take time to pray and really go through your emotions. Take time and get with a friend and talk through things. That's not a... Sometimes you're so anxious, how will it go? Just take time and say, I'm even anxious to talk about it. But let's talk about it. Amen? Amen. God bless you.